All right, it is 8:40 on this Thursday morning. The first professional football game I ever attended at the Pontiac Silverdome was not an NFL football game. It was a USFL football game with the Michigan Panthers in what turned out to be their championship season, the inaugural season for the USFL. Watched Bobby Hebert play. It was an interesting league, and it lasted all of three seasons in the mid-1980s, and it's chronicled its rise and fall in the new book, Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL by sports reporter Jeff Perlman, who's on the line with us right now. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
You know, that was the last football championship for the city of Detroit.
Don't remind me. I know that all too well. What a crazy league and what a crazy idea. Where did the idea for the USFL first originate?
Well, there was a guy named David Dixon who was a New Orleans art dealer. And in the 1960s, he really wanted to bring the NFL to New Orleans. And the NFL showed no interest. So he kind of thought, well, they're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. And he had this idea of spring football, and we're going to, you know, we're not going to take on directly the NFL, but we're going to have our own league and it's going to be professional. Then the Saints came to New Orleans and they kind of dumped it. And then with the urging of an old Redskins coach named George Allen, he sort of brought it back. And he always thought the idea was good. He just sort of couldn't pull the trigger. And finally in the 1980s, he decided, I'm just going to go for it. And he had this league.
I think that there are so many people that don't even know that the USFL existed. I mean, talking about, you know, sports fans in their 20s and 30s. If you mention the USFL, they might say, oh, yeah, I kind of heard about that. But a lot of people don't know how huge this was. It was a big deal when it was initiated, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just want to say, a good recipe for having a successful book is write about a sports league nobody's heard about and then have it come out the same day as Bob Woodward's book.
Yeah.
It's a great way to promote a book. No more powerful.
Well, you know what? If you could say that you were the number two bestseller this week, then make sure that you look at the asterisks there. Yeah, that's a good point. But this is, an entertaining story. I mean, what's interesting is that the central figure in Bob Woodward's book is also a central figure in your book, and we're talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah, so, the league came along, and its first season was 1983, and it was a league with a lot of stars. You know, they stole a lot of players. The NFL won. They got Herschel Walker, the Heisman Trophy winner, out of jail. They actually got three straight Heisman Trophy winners. They got Herschel Walker, Mike Rozier, Doug Flutie. Stole a lot of NFL guys. It was a league where Steve Young was born, Jim Kelly was born, Rich White was born. Star after star after star. And Donald Trump owned the New Jersey Generals of the USFL, and he bought them 1 year into the league, 1984. And what he really wanted, you know, he talked up how much he loved the USFL in the lead up to buying the Generals. And as soon as he got the Generals, it was all about how we need to move to fall. We need to take on the NFL directly. And the truth of the matter is, he just wanted an NFL team. And he saw the USFL as a vice. He never cared about the USFL, never really had an interest in the USFL. And shortly after buying the Generals, he actually invited Pete Rozelle, the then NFL commissioner, to a meeting. And he rented a suite at the Pierre Hotel in New York City. And he told Pete Rozelle, I don't give a crap about this league. I don't want to get in the NFL. What do I have to do to get in the NFL? And what he was saying is, if you need me to torpedo the USFL and that'll land me an NFL team, I'll happily do it. And it was kind of sinister stuff. No matter what you think about Trump now, it was pretty sinister. And Pete Rozelle said to him, as long as I'm the commissioner of the NFL, you have no place in this league. You'll never have a place in this league. And when you look at Trump now and his war against the NFL and the whole kneeling thing, the patriotism thing, I can guarantee you it has nothing to do with patriotism. It has nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick or kneeling. It has everything to do. You have to remember, Donald Trump tried buying the Baltimore Colts and failed. He tried buying the Buffalo Bills and failed. He tried buying the Dallas Cowboys and failed. He tried having the USFL merge with the NFL and failed. He tried meeting with Pete Rozelle and failed. And then they actually ended up suing the NFL and failed. So his history with the USFL, with the NFL, is just a bad one.
Yeah, no doubt. He hates the NFL, and it certainly shows. You, by the way, Jeff, have kind of a personal connection with the USFL. I mean, you've been passionate about it for many years. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, I grew up loving it. And when I was it's kind of weird. When I was a senior in high school, I took AP English, and my teacher, Mr. Height, had us all, we had to write a 20-page final paper on the subject of our choosing. And I did the USFL, and he thought it was a terrible idea. I remember he was like, yeah, I don't you really want to do the USFL as your final paper. And I was like, no, it's a great paper, I'm telling you. And I ended up writing 40 pages on the USFL. And it's really true. Until I worked on this book, I never thought to myself that the odds that he actually read a 40-page paper on the USFL from some 18-year-old geek in his high school class is about zero. Like, can you imagine being poor Eric Height and you assign these papers and this is the end of the book? You just want to hop the journey. You just want to move on with your life and get to summer. Some kid hands in a 40-page paper, single-spaced, about the USFL. No, I think I'm passing that.
That's pretty funny. There were so many great players that came out of the USFL as well, weren't there?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's crazy. To me, the best like story of if you want to know what the USFL is and the understanding of it, Jim Kelly, the famous Hall of Fame quarterback, he was in that 1983 NFL draft class with Dan Marino and John Elway and all those guys, and he was picked by the Buffalo Bills, but he had said, I don't want to go to Buffalo. And the Bills drafted him anyway. And when they drafted him, he was really devastated, but he didn't feel like he had another choice. So he and his agent went up to Buffalo to negotiate a contract with the Bills. And the USFL found out that he was going to be in the Bills' offices that day. And they had a representative, this guy Bruce Allen, call the Bills' offices and pretend he was a relative of Jim Kelly's agent. And he said, I need to speak to Bob. We have a family emergency going on. And he gets him on the phone and he says, listen, Bob, I know Jim Kelly doesn't want to go to Buffalo, and you know he doesn't want to go to Buffalo. Make an excuse to leave the offices, and I promise you the USFL will make him happy. And they snuck out, and 2 weeks later, he signed with the Houston Gamblers.
Wow.
There was a war. There was really a war against the NFL. They were going after their people hard.
Yeah, it's amazing as you look back on this league that was huge at the time. Now it is largely forgotten. Was that why you wanted to write this book? Because it doesn't get talked about a lot.
I just knew it was a great story.
Yeah.
I knew it was a great story. There's just a million. I mean, it expanded by six teams after the first season, so it jumped from 12 to 18. And a lot of the owners couldn't pay their bills, and the team, the San Antonio Gunslingers, where they were using industrial spray paint to spray the numbers on the field, and players are coming off the field with paint cuts on their bodies. And there's a player who punched his coach in the face after he got cut. And then we'll threaten to kill him, and the team hired Liberace's bodyguard to protect the coach. It was just like a million insane, crazy, makes no sense, wouldn't believe it except it really happened stories. I'm all about that stuff.
Nobody has tried maybe with the exception of the XFL, I don't know if that counts, nobody's really tried to provide an alternative to the NFL since the USFL. Do you think that this is the cautionary tale that anybody that says, well, I ought to start my own football league, they're going to look at this and say, yeah, maybe not.
There are two new leagues that are going to try in the spring. One is the XFL, Vince McMahon's bringing it back. The other is this league called the Alliance of Professional Football. They're both spring leagues. I think the problem is with the USFL is they just tried spending like the NFL, and they did not have the wherewithal to do it. And the idea itself was a really smart idea, slow growth, spring football. I mean, the USFL was responsible for the two-point conversion, for the instant replay, for the run-and-shoot offense. The salaries you see in the NFL now are a direct result of the USFL. Like, the USFL had a lot of impact. It just moved too quick and really couldn't sustain at the pace it was spending.
Yeah, the NFL is huge. It's really hard to challenge that. This is a great book, Football for a Buck. By the way, the title of the book, again, what is the significance there?
Well, they, led by Donald Trump, they decided to sue the NFL. They sued the NFL for monopolizing television and violating antitrust laws. And what the jury decided at the end of the day was the USFL was correct, that the NFL had a monopoly on fall TV, blah, 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 but that the USFL was its own worst enemy and was the cause of its own demise. So the jury gave the USFL the win in district court in New York City, but only gave them a dollar. They were trying to win $1.3 billion, and they decided the settlement would be a $1 victory. So they won a dollar in court, and that was the death of the league.
Big slap in the face. Football for a Buck by Jeff Perlman. Jeff, good luck against that juggernaut by Bob Woodward. But
he's worried about me. He's worried about me.
The fun book and really cool stuff, Jeff. We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks a lot. All right,